Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the fourth incarnation, the Lord became Nara and Narayan, the twin sons of the wife of King Dharma. Thus he undertook severe and exemplary penance to control the senses. As King Rishabha advised his sons, tapasya, or voluntary acceptance of penance for realization of the transcendence, is the only duty of human being. It was so done by the Lord himself in an exemplary manner to teach us. The Lord is very kind to the forgetful souls. He therefore comes himself and leaves behind necessary instructions and also sends his good sons as representatives to call all the conditioned souls back to Godhead. Recently, within the memory of everyone, Lord Chaitanya also appeared for the same purpose, to show special favor to fallen souls of this age of iron industry. The incarnation of Narayana is worshipped still in Badri Narayana on the range of the Himalayas. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksuran Militan Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Daratisva Padantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsta Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamsta He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Ari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasari Gora Bhaktavin Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, in the contents of this book, Srimad Bhagavatam, there's 22 incarnations listed. But Prabhupada explains that in the same chapter actually, in the purport, Prabhupada explains there's innumerable incarnations of the Supreme Lord. Actually, it's in text 26. There's a whole list given there. And just examples like Ayagriva, Hari, Hamsavatar, etc. And Prahlad Maharaj also, when he was chanting his praise to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he said, My dear Lord, you manifest in many incarnations like species of life, like mainly the aquatics, vegetation, reptiles, birds, beasts, and demigods, just for the maintenance of the faithful and annihilation of the unfaithful. So Krishna is very, very kind. In order to protect his devotees, he comes time and time again. If he doesn't come himself, then he sends his representatives, whether he's Allah, Jehovah, Buddha, Ram. Prabhupada mentions Jesus Christ as well as a representative of God. He comes in so many different ways just to entice us to go back home, back to Godhead, giving us these Vedic literatures. So, in Bhagavad Gita 4.7 and 4.8, they write next to each other. I'm not very good with Sanskrit, so I'll have to read. I hope you don't mind. Anyone know the verse? Verse 7? All the Bhakti Vaibhavas and Bhakti Shastris. Yada yada idharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shijamyam. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So Prabhupada is saying here, the word Shijami is very significant herein. Shijami cannot be used in the sense of creation because according to previous verse, there is no creation of the Lord's form or body. He is unborn. He doesn't take birth like ordinary living entities. Therefore, Shijami means that the Lord manifests himself as he is. So the next verse is anyone know? Paritranaya sadhunam vinasaya sachiskritam dharmastam patanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. So Krishna is very, very kind again. He comes sometimes to protect the words of his devotees. Sometimes the demigods, they give boons. And the boons might not be favorable to the person in question. So Krishna has to intervene so that there is some favorable situation on both sides. The example is like when Lord Shiva gave a boon to, what's he called? Was it Vrikasura? Was it that? Yeah. He gave a boon to this person that if he touches his head, he wanted the boon that if he touches anyone's head, they would go into pieces, blow up into pieces. So, and Lord Shiva gives the boon. This is how it is. Lord Shiva is called Asatos, one who is very pleased and one who is very angered very easily. So he gave this boon. Eventually, Vrikasura asked Lord Shiva, I'm not sure whether this boon will work. Can I try it on you, please, to see if it works? And then Lord Shiva started running away. Vikasura was running after Lord Shiva. Eventually, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, had to intervene and say, okay, do you believe Lord Shiva in what Lord Shiva says? Why don't you test it yourself to see whether it works? So, less intelligence. Sometimes people think they're too clever for the boots. They're not conscious when they do something. So rather than stop to think, wait a minute, if I ask for this boon, if I touch anyone's head, they're going to, burst into pieces. But not straight away put his hand on his head and he was, destroyed. So the Supreme Lord is always there to protect his devotees. In Bhagavad Gita 10.5, Krishna lists out all the good and the bad qualities. And he explains that every quality comes from him. It's amazing. So I'll just read some of the qualities that Krishna lists out. 10.5, he says, intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, control of the senses, control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, non-violence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame, infamy, all these various qualities of the living beings I created by me. So Krishna is explaining, there's no good and bad situation in the material world. It's our perception, how we see things. But we have a choice. So Prabhupada is explaining here that different qualities of the living entities, be they good or bad, are all created by Krishna, and they are described here. So, he's describing intelligence. I'm just going to read a little bit, few examples of the meanings of this. Prabhupada said, intelligence refers to the power to analyze things in their proper perspective. And knowledge refers to understanding what is spirit and what is matter. So there is, as in chapter 10, Parashara Muni, he describes the word Bhagavan. So Bhagavan is one who possesses all opulence, possesses six opulence. Anyone knows what the six opulence are? Strength. Wow, you took it all yourself. Fantastic. Thank you. So, strength. Krishna comes here to kill the demons. As a baby, he performed Hercules' task. But people are looking for, we're talking about strength. Yeah, people are looking for being strong in this material world. So what do? They go to the gym. They work all day. Still in the evening, they go to the gym. They eat tablets to grow their muscles. They weigh, you know, so many different artificial methods to grow the muscles to become strong. But we understand these are all temporary measures. As they get, and if they stop, all the muscles sag again. They're not strong enough. So they have to keep at it. They have to keep going all the time. And of course, it's money as well. They have to become members, you know, for so long. 1 year membership you have to pay to go. And some people take this membership. They haven't got the willpower to even keep to their membership. They may go once and not go for the rest of the year sometimes. So this is strength. In the material world, artificial strength, but at the time of death, all this is finished. You see, old birth, death, old age, and disease put an end to this so-called strength. And fame, Krishna possesses fame, and he's famous for everything. Whether he does nonsense activities, or whether he does, in our eyes, appears to be nonsense, or whether he does things in the mode of goodness, but all his activities are glorified. He is famous for everything, to stealing, you know, the wives of husbands at midnight, or for, you know, for marrying 16,108 gopis. He's still glorified, stealing butter, agitating the gopis. Whatever he does, he's famous for. But in the material world, how much austerities one has to perform to become famous. Like a film star, he has to play a role over and over and again. Sometimes they go mad, frustration builds up because so many times they have to perform over and over. And they become famous. They become big, big celebrities, big, big film stars. And then when another new films come up, they're not called in. Somebody else takes the part. And then when it goes on like that, they feel depressed. Eventually, they take to drugs. They take to, oh, so many film stars, like committed suicide. Of recent, there was Williams, what's he called? Anyway, Robin Williams. And there was others as well. Elvis Presley was a big-time singer. So many artists I've committed suicide from depression. That's through fame. Even Michael Jackson, the most famous, you know, artist, singer, he committed suicide. Amy Winehouse, she was a beautiful singer, she committed suicide. Terrible, terrible. What, so much potential, so much talent, but it's wasted because of this depression. And beauty, they say beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and beauty is just skin deep. So Krishna possesses the most beautiful features. He said, it's explained there that that beauty comes out in Mohini Murti and Vamanadev. But what a shame about the beauty in this material world. We think we are beautiful, I mean, in the eyes of God, because the super soul is present in the heart. We would be dead meat if it wasn't for the living force, the super soul in the heart. So because Krishna is in the heart, and everyone has different features according to his past karma, which he's enacting in this lifetime, some appear beautiful and others appear so-called ugly. But it's all, you know, in the eye of the beholder, this beauty. But to make ourselves more beautiful, we're not satisfied with the beauty we have. So we need to, so many places now are opening up for nails. In the high street, there's about three different outlets for doing your nails. And there's some places for a massage parlor, so many different things to with the body, or facelift, plastic surgery. Some of the famous people, film stars and other people you look at, they look like zombies. They think they look beautiful. They lift their cheekbones up, or they do something to their eyes or their mouth, whatever the case may be, but they don't realize how grotesque it is, you know, to artificially beautify oneself. And especially the females especially are used for consumerism, for advertisements. It's so sad. Yeah. So just to grow gets you know, sales going. So people practice for years and years to become famous. And even the songs, you know, you hear songs, except for Jayadev's songs, it's like eternally refreshing and beautiful. But the songs the pop stars sing, it only lasts like for so long. After that, it's like you don't want to hear it. Everything has to be updated, upgraded. So, but music, this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, the songs, Narottam Das Thakur, all the songs in our books, they're ancient. Some of them are 5,000 years. The chanting of the Maha Mantra. Sometimes we do the 24-hour kirtan. It's unbelievable. You know, the kirtan goes for 3 days. And just chanting the Maha Mantra, you get high just by listening to the sound vibration of the holy name. Prabhupada will say, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Unless you experience, unless you sit to listen very carefully, you wouldn't get that taste. You wouldn't relish it. You know, devotees, like they had Radha Deshmelos. I was just watching online. You look at the faces of the devotees. They are like so effulgent. Their smile is going from one ear to the other. You know, all you can see is teeth. So excited, they're relishing the holy name like in ecstasy. So this is not an ordinary, it's coming directly from the spiritual world. And Krishna is non-different from his name. So the potency, the power of this holy name is so deep-rooted that it affects our consciousness. So it's not really ordinary thing. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Yeah, so this beauty is tainted by old age, but the Lord is Navayovanam. He's ever youthful, Komaram. Navayovanam cha. So wealth. Does Krishna possess all wealth? Of course. He's the richest man in the planet. He's got the goddess of fortune as his wife. He's got no worries. And he says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. What doesn't he possess? He's got everything, wealth. But yet, in the material world, we have a big house, we have a big car, we have lots of money, and we think we have everything. But there's fear within that possessions. Why do they have big, big fences around the house? Why do they have burglar guards? Why do they have alarms, you know, set out the remote control, CCTV, all these things? It's a fear factor. Who is going to take my property? Who is going to take my money? You know, how can I secure myself? But if someone wants to steal, they will find a way. There's no question. The biggest houses in Loom Lane, in Radlett, gets burgled the most number of time, and they got the highest security you can think of, you know. These criminals, these burglars, they don't go to the small time, small fries. They won't come to my house. I'm quite safe. They look at the postbox. They think, no, this is not. They go to, like, actually, there's one road in Radlett. It's called Newlands Avenue. Apparently, it's the sixth richest road, the people that live there in England. Huge houses. Prabhupada said, if a house got a long driveway to get to it, then it's very auspicious. You know, they got lots of money. They're okay. So now we are very opulent. Bhaktivedanta man, we have a very long driveway. I think it's like half a mile. So so we are very, very fortunate where we are, so we have to remain, stay put where we are. We are happy. Knowledge. What is this knowledge? We just read here the different qualities. What is knowledge? Intelligent means the power to analyze things in their proper perspective. That is intelligence. But knowledge is understanding the spirit, the difference between spirit and matter. So, where's knowledge in this material world? You go to primary school, you go to high school, you go to college, you go to university, you get a degree. Is that knowledge? Prabhupada asks, is that real knowledge? Do we want this knowledge? How does it help us? Because in this age, the only means of deliverance is to know that I am a spirit soul and not this body, the difference between the body and the soul. And Prabhupada would question, which educational place, which school, which society, which college or university is teaching about the science of the soul? No educational place is teaching about the soul. So what a waste of life, what a waste of time, when we don't understand what is our goal of life as human beings. This human form of life is so very rare because we don't know how many species of life we've been through before getting this human form of life. And only in this one life can we make inquiries about the self. Animals cannot do this. We know that for a fact. Animals cannot make inquiries, but we have this very rare human form of life to make these inquiries and to perform tapasya and austerities. We need to perform tapasya and austerities in order to get out of here. And that tapasya and austerities in this age, Kali Yuga, is the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So knowledge, renunciation. So the seventh one is renunciation, and this is what Nara Narayan Rishi have portrayed, the perfect example of renunciation. And they performed this renunciation in the most severe place that you can think of, Badrinath. Prabhupada explains, in 1974, in a morning walk in Bombay, April time, this verse was actually being discussed, and he said, this Badrinath, no human beings can go there for 7 months. It's so bad. It's completely covered in snow. And Narayan Rishi, they were performing their meditation in this place to show that they're setting the perfect example of what austerity and penance is. But there's other five opulence there are. So, but what is our austerity? This is what our austerity is, sitting in Bhagavatam class. It's not really austerity. That's what I mentioned in the beginning. This is our so-called austerity. So we have to really, really take this Krishna consciousness, the chanting of the holy name, the sankirtan yajna, congregational chanting to heart. This is the only way. Kalo nasteva, 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 gatir anyata. There's no other way. No other way but the chanting of the holy names. Shivaram Maharaj said to me once, Vrindavan is inside your bead bag. So, as long as we don't take this chanting of the holy name seriously, there's bound to be problems. But if we seriously chant, associate with devotee, and take our sadhana seriously, then whatever comes our way, difficulties are always there, and all our difficulties are coming from our previous life. We have to understand all our activities that are happening now is from our previous life. And whatever we do in this life would make our path to our next life. So as long as we fulfill the requirements of hearing and the nine processes of devotional service, whatever else happen around us, be they good or bad, they're coming from our past life, and we personally shouldn't be judging anyone for whatever they're undergoing. As long as they're following the nine processes of devotional service, then they are safe. So, we are stuck for time here, so I will come to the end of the class. So, if anyone has any quick questions?